when giants come calling my name. My God is so much bigger than troubles I face. Why would I hunger for power or riches or than all of these things? I won't be shaken. I won't be moved. My God is faithful. His promise is true. So I speak to the mountains. Oh, it's time to move. Died for my ransom and rose up on the third day. My God is greater than death, hell, and the grave. I won't be shaken. I won't be moved. My God is
this again. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Anybody know what today is?
This is the day the Lord has made. I rejoice and be glad
in it. All right. You guys actually sound like you believe that today. You know, I forgot to say that two Sundays in a row and I got in trouble. You know, people were asking me, say, what's wrong? You don't believe that anymore. I said, nope, I'm just getting old. I forget to take off, or Bill forgets offerings, and I forget to ask the question. So you have to forgive us, okay? Listen, it's nice to be back. Sorry I missed all of you, but I didn't want to be here and pass along any of the stuff that I had. It wasn't fun, but thank you for all your prayers while I was off. And I am back healthy and feeling good and ready to go again. So thank you. Just a quick update from the last time we were together. we had kids camp 2 weeks ago. And we had lots and lots and lots and lots of kids in here. I'm not sure exactly how many, but I'm sure you've probably seen pictures of them on our Facebook page and on our website and all of that. One of the comments that I heard from staff was, this was the best camp we ever had, this last one. It was the best run. It was the most organized. It was the best the kids ever acted. Okay. I said it was the best one until this next one. Now the next one's going to get even better. And each time they're going to get a little bit better and better and better, okay? The really neat thing for me is that at the end, all during the week, we started out the very first day and we had taught them a new song. And they didn't know this song from Adam. And they're trying to sing this song and they're not very many of them participating, okay? But by the end of the week, we had about 100 of them up here on the stage. And if you wanted to see what praise and worship should look like in this place, you should have seen those kids up here singing that song. Amen. They were up here praising and worshiping God, and the whole stage was filled as these guys were praising and worshiping God to the top of their lungs. The Sports World Pros came in, and they did an awesome job giving messages. And our theme was, give us this day our daily bread. Okay? And that was the scripture. And we had a loaf of bread up here. And the last day, they brought the bread up here. The two pros did. And they stood up here and they played off of one another. And they said, now, there's the bread, which is the word of God. And there's this other kind of bread. There's a angry bread, a jealous bread, and all these other kind of bread. And they said, now, whenever you have an opportunity, you got one of two choices. You can eat of this bread or you can eat of that bread. And that Jimmy Bell, he was up here and he's asking me to feed him the bread. I almost had to get on a ladder to put it in his mouth. That's a big guy, okay? But you could see the kids listening throughout the whole week. Then they had to leave and then we went outside and we gave a message outside. If you wanted to see something really, a miracle happen, you should have seen Bill Vega and I racing down the water slide one time. Huh? Bill said, help pull me up, Chip. I can't make it. I said, okay. I'm about the top pulling. I thought he was going to pull me to the bottom. I didn't think it was going to go the way it was supposed to go. But we were out there playing with the kids, having a good time. We had a foam pit. I'm not sure what that stuff was, but we were all rolling in it, foam covered and water slides and everything else. And then at the end, we got a chance to give the message again. And then we got a chance to ask them about, okay, in your life, do you want the bread of life in your life? Would you like to receive Jesus into your life today? And it was my pleasure to watch little hands popping up all over. And we got to pray the prayer of salvation with those kids. And there was 20 or 30 of them that got to pray that prayer. Okay? And it was absolutely awesome. And I know all of heaven was rejoicing because those names were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay, so we got another camp coming up this week, and we got another chance to reach more kids, to sow the gospel of Jesus Christ into more and more of these young lives, and to watch what God does with them. And so this past week, when we did this, or 2 weeks ago, I did a thing called the Spirit Award, okay? And the Spirit Award was for praise and worship. And I'm thinking about doing it with you guys too, okay? I want to see if this works, right? But, you know, I was walking around in the crowd and I was watching the kids. And if they were sitting there not doing anything, I didn't do anything to them. If they were singing and they were praising and worshiping God, I told them, come up front here. And they stood up here and they were praising and worshiping. And I'd call another one that I would see, call another one. And then I said, okay, you guys get the Spirit Awards today. The Spirit Awards, what's that? And I reached in my pocket and I gave each one of them a dollar. And all the people that were in the audience, all them kids says, oh my. The next day, you should have seen the Spirit in this place. The one set of parents said, I don't know what you did to my kids, but they were up singing this song all night long. We got tired of hearing it, okay? And those two young brothers, they were belting it out, and they had even the dance moves down to it, okay? Well, the really bad thing, when you start doing something like that, on the last day of camp, I had to give out 100 $1 bills to all the people that won the Spirit Award, okay? The most important thing, though, is you should have seen the light in their eyes, the joy on their face, as they were up there singing and praising the Lord. It was awesome, wasn't it, Bill? It was awesome to watch and behold. So it was absolutely awesome. So all the kids asked me, are we going to have the Spirit Awards next week? I said, oh, Lord, I'm going to have to go get a loan if we're going to do this every week. But the Lord will provide somehow. See? So it was absolutely awesome. So then after that, I guess it was God got me through all of that. And on Thursday night, after camp was all over, I got home and I said, man, I'm dizzy. And I said, uh-oh, I remember what happened last time I got dizzy. And then the rest of it started on me, and I got a cold and a sore throat and all the other good things that happened. But God was able to help us get through the camp, and we were able to have a great camp. And then I got to get time off to rest up. And now I'm ready to go up that water slide one more time, Bill, okay? I'm all rested up now. After 2 weeks of rest, I think I can get up the water slide one more time, okay? But God is awesome, okay? Last couple of weeks, we've been going through a set of messages, and I don't know if you know that or not, but most of the messages that we've been talking about the last couple of weeks have been dealing with your actions. There were a message on forgiveness, which is an action that we do or a take. There was messages on godly sorrow, on honor, and those types of messages on good deeds and on works. All of those things were built around our actions and our deeds. Today I'm going to switch gears. We're going to be talking today about something a little different. We're going to be talking about our emotions. Okay, how many of you here like to have your emotions talked about? Not me either. And I'm going to pry in again a little bit. Remember the other day we talked about if a tree wasn't producing fruit, how the gardener comes and digs around the roots and then he throws some dung on it. Okay? And I got to tell you, that's what God's been doing to me. He's been digging around my roots. He's been throwing some dung on it. And sometimes it's a little painful when he gets in there and digs around the roots. But what is really awesome is as we let him dig into our life, and as we let the word of God come to us, it changes us. And so that's when Paul says, hey, I'm sorry for the letter I wrote you. I'm sorry that I hurt you with it. And then he says, no, I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry because that pain caused you to change. And that's what's been happening in my life. The pain that God has been allowing me to go through is causing change to happen in my life. And so I thank God for the problems. I thank God for the digging around. I thank God for the crap that's coming my way. Because without it, I wouldn't be the person I am today. So this message today is titled this. I want you to see this. Putting off and putting on. And now I want you to think about this for a second. When I get up in the morning and I get ready to go out to work, my wife looks at me and she says, you're not going out like that, are you? So I know that that means I need to go in and put off the clothes I put on so that I can put on the ones that she's going to have me wear. Okay? Now, Mike Yannick, I'm going to pick on the back row today, John, since he's all the way in the back. Mike said, Chip, I learned not even to put my clothes on anymore. I just say, Barb, what do you want me to dress in today? And now she just has them all laid out for me, and I just get into them. It makes it easier. I don't have to put them off so that I can put them back on. But I just want you to get the concept, okay? In order for us to put on the new things that God has for us, we have to put something off. We got to get rid of some things in our life so that we can put on the things that God has for us. Now listen, this is a little different. I want you to understand this. When my wife says, go in there and take your clothes off and put those away and put these back on, I have to go do that myself. My wife doesn't take my clothes off and my wife doesn't put them back on for me. I have to physically go in and do that myself. And so when the scripture says it is up to you to put these things off, guess whose responsibility it is? Nobody can do it for you. And then when he says, put these things on, who is the one that's responsible for doing that? We are. Okay, so this is nothing that we can pray and say, God, change me to be like the message that Pastor Chip gave today. No, this is something that we have to make up our mind we want in our life. And we want to have what God has for us. And I understand in order to get that, what God has for me, I got to put off some of the things that I had in my life. And as I put these things off, I can put these new things on. So I want to start with the first scripture, if I could, please. And this is out of Colossians 3. Okay? And he says, set your affection. Anybody know what affection is? Love. Set your love or your affections on those things above. Where's above? Heaven. Okay, so set your affections and your love and your eyes and your desires on those things above, not on those things on the earth. A great way to start, isn't it? Man, he's telling me right away, I got to start changing where my love lies. You know, before I came to Christ, I loved all the things that the world had to offer. And I worked very hard to get all the things that the world had to offer. Okay? And he says, don't do that anymore. Set your affections on those things which are above and not on the things on the earth. Here's what he says in the next one. For you are... Okay, does that mean you're going to come view me tomorrow? What am I dead to? I'm dead to this world. And I'm dead to the things in this world. This world is what used to provide my life and my happiness. I thought was happiness. Anybody ever been there? With that happiness comes a lot of pain. But now I'm dead to the things of this world and the things that this world has to offer. And my life is hid where? My life is hid where? Come on, you guys can get this right. My life is hid with? There you go. So I'm dead, and now I'm hiding my life right inside of Christ Jesus. Right? So now if I'm out there and I'm looking for the things of the world, I actually got to pull the thing back to look through Christ to see the things of the world. Because my life is hidden in Christ. No longer in this world. So the next scripture says this. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Oh boy. You know what that means? When he comes back again, in his glory, if I'm dead to the things of the world and I'm hid my life in Christ, guess what I'm going to be? I'm going to be in his glory coming back with him. Hey, now, you guys aren't very excited this morning. I don't know if you can't get excited about this, man. I'm going to be in the biggest homecoming that there ever was. The whole world is going to look up and say, uh-oh, here comes Jesus. Oh, my golly, and Chip did make it. Look, there he is. Marvin's going to be right beside me. Okay? We all going to make it. And we're going to be in this glorious homecoming if we be dead to this world and our life is hid in Christ. Okay. Therefore, put to death. Who's got to put him to death? You do. Oh, boy. Therefore, put him in the closet. What does he say to do to him? Put him to death. put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Go to the next one for me, please. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. I don't know about you, but go back to that one and go backwards one if you can. Let me see. Yep, I walked in uncleanness. Yep, I had the wrong kind of passions. I had all kind of evil desires. Yep, I was a little covetous. And I had some, you know, desiring what my neighbor had. Every once in a while, I still get that. Marvin shows up in that old car of his, and I get a little jealous every once in a while. Okay. He said, that's okay. He gets a little jealous of my hair every once in a while. Okay. Okay. But come on. When we were out there in the world, we saw other people getting things. You know, I don't know how many young people come to me and they say, Pastor Chip, yes, can you get me a job? Yep. What do you want? Well, can I get a job like yours? Well, it only took me about 42 years to get to where I am at. Well, I'd like to skip those 42 years. I'd just like to go from here to where you are. Huh? You think you can make that happen for me? No, I don't think I can make that happen for you. You see, today, when you look at young people, they want everything we already have without working for it. Seriously. And then when you say, yep, you can get that, it's only going to take about 42 years, you know what they say? Well, I can't wait that long. I don't know what to tell you then. Oh, I guess I'll go play the lottery. Okay, you keep playing the lottery, and when you run out of money from playing the lottery, you know, and then you want to get serious about this. But when I was young, guess what I did? I wanted everything that everybody else had, and I wanted it when? Now. Yeah, you guys been there, see? Now you're starting to wake up a little bit. Right? I walked in those things. Now you know what I want? I don't want the things the world has to offer at all anymore. What I want is more of him. More of his presence in his in my life. More of Jesus. Huh? My grandfather's favorite song, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, like none other has ever known. Man, once you get a hold of Jesus, it does something to you. And when you really get on fire for Jesus, then you look at the things of the world and you said, and I used to like that stuff. But until that time, we've got to get from where we are to where we need to be by burying our life inside of Christ. Saying, I'm done with the world. What I want is you, Lord. And I'm going to get into your word. I'm going to pray. I'm going to go to church every time it's open. I'm going to be at the Bible studies. I'm going to do everything I can because I want to get my life hidden fully in you so that the things of this world fade away. Okay? That's where I was at before. This is where I'm at now. And guess what happens to those people that are still walking in that stuff that won't listen? Go to the next slide again. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Oh, boy. Listen, I know what it's like to be a son of disobedience, okay? One day, my mom made these cookies that were my absolute favorite. I absolutely love these cookies that my mom made. So did my brother, so did my sister. My mom was going off bowling or going someplace, and before she left, she gave us some of the cookies, okay? And we ate those cookies. The problem was we still wanted more cookies, okay? So I went out into the family room where my father was sitting, and I said, Dad, can we have some more cookies? And Dad says, it's too close to bedtime. You can't have any more cookies. So, as an obedient son, what should I have done? But do you know what I wanted, right? I was coveting them cookies, you know, and I knew I was going to die if I didn't get those cookies. So my brother and sister says, what are we going to do? I said, well, you watch out for Dad. I'll go in. I'll get the cookie jar open, and I'll open that thing, and I'll get us enough for all of us. So my brother and sister are watching out, and I'm in there and open that cookie jar. And when I opened it, he heard it. I don't know how he heard it. He is deaf, but he heard a cookie jar open. Okay? And when he heard that cookie jar open, I had already had the cookies out, okay? My brother just says, he coming, and they ran, okay? And left me standing there with the cookie jar open with my hand in the cookie jar, okay? Now, I know what happens to a disobedient son. I almost died that day, okay? He made his point. I don't know if my brother and sister came out of hiding for 2 days, you know, but... You know, there is that wrath that comes if we are disobedient. Why? Because God wants us to obey him. He doesn't want to be mean to us. He wants us to know the difference between right and wrong, and he wants us to help choose what's right. And so my father says, I want you to choose what's right, son. I want you to start to obey me. Okay, I learned. I won't go get in the cookie jar when Dad's around. That hearing is not as bad as Mom says it is. I can tell you that right now. God is coming with the same thing for those that will not listen to him. The ones that are staying out there in those things they know they should not be doing, but they just love to do it, and they think that's where they need to be, and they think that's where life is coming from. Ain't nothing but wrath coming and nothing but death coming from staying out there. Go to the next one, please. In which yourselves once walked. Yep, I walked in them, and you know what? I lived in them. I wanted all that stuff. Listen, when I graduated from high school, I moved to Georgia. I had my own house. Now, I worked in a sawmill. And I looked at all the things that other people had, and I didn't have much. So I said, hey, I want all them other things that other people got. So I started to work like crazy. And I said, oh, I need a new car. I had a car. I didn't need a new car, but I want another car. So I went and bought a brand new car. Now, I had two cars. I'm one person living by myself, and I got two cars. Now, you know what I said? You know, hey, man, look at those Harley-Davidson motorcycles. Aren't they awesome? I think I need one of those, too. And I was going after everything that the world had to offer. By the time I was 19 years old, I had an F-150 pickup. I had a 79 Trans Am. I had a 75th anniversary Harley. I had an old Bonneville convertible. I had a house. I had everything that the world had to offer. And you know what I wanted? More. It's crazy. It seems like the more you get, the more you want. And you're out there and you're walking in them. You're not only walking in them, you get caught in the trap and you actually are living in them until all you're doing is working all the time to get more stuff. And now I was working so many hours that I didn't even have time to enjoy the stuff I had because I had to go to work to pay for all this stuff that I got. And now it's sitting in the garage, and I don't even get to use it. Wasn't that fun? Boy, I couldn't wait to get more stuff so I could go work more so I could pay for more stuff. But man, you get caught up in that trap, and then you pretty soon you're like the dog chasing a tail. And pretty soon life is just about what you got and how much you got. There's a saying in the world that says, he who has the most toys at the end wins. I don't know. I've seen a lot of caskets up here. Do you see any of them toys with them? They don't have an add-on model where you can throw stuff in with you. And even if they do, you can't use it anyhow. Okay? What is really important is that we understand that Christ is our all in all. Okay? And that we live our life for Christ and we get away from walking in these things. So let's go on to the next one, please. But now yourselves are put off all of these things. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these. And the very first one in red is?
Anger.
Anybody ever been angry? Hmm? I don't know, man. When I was younger, it didn't take much to make me angry. It didn't take much to set me off, and boy, I was ready to go. And I was full of anger. I don't even know why I was full of anger. I was just angry all the time. And as I got older, I thought, man, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. You know, somebody does something to me, and what do I want to do right away? Oh, Matt, you shouldn't have done that to me. I'm going to get back at you. I don't care how long it takes, but I am going to get back at you somehow. Okay? I love the story that Bill Cosby tells. He tells the story of one time when he was younger that, you know, one of his best friends threw a slush ball at him and hit him in the face with it. Okay? And he says, I was going to get back at that kid. No matter what it took, I was going to get back to him. So he says, you know, I went outside and I made me the nicest, biggest slush ball I could find. And he said, I put it in the freezer. And he said, then I pretended to be this boy's friend. And I got him to warm up to me, you know, and I got him to come over to my house and I got him to do all these things. He said, then when he was not expecting it, when I had him right where I wanted him, where he wasn't even going to have the slightest clue where this was coming from, he said, I waited till the middle of summer also so that he couldn't get a snowball or a slush ball and throw it back at me. He said, then I went into the freezer. I opened up the freezer door to reach in to get that slush ball to go hit my friend in the face with it. And my mother had thrown that snowball away. Okay? I mean, people do things to us, and we spend so much time and we spend so much energy on trying to get even. Now, I want you to think about something. He says we got to take this off. We got to take off anger. Right? And I was going to have a different jacket up here today, and I decided I wasn't going to do that. But if I take off the angry jacket and I put it to death, I sit it over here and light it on fire and say, anger, you're gone. Now he says, I got to go put something on in its place. Now I want you to see what he says I want to put on in its place. Go to the next slide, please. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Okay? I read that and I said, Lord, okay, I understand. I got to put tender mercies on. So he says, good, go in that closet and grab that jacket and put it on. I went to put that jacket on and, by golly, it didn't fit. And he said, Chip, it ain't going to fit. You see, there's certain actions that you have to go through in order for the emotions to change. And Chip, in your life, you still have some unforgiveness in there. And until you get rid of the unforgiveness, the anger's going to stay. And even though you're not angry anymore, you can't put on this next thing that I have in store for you, which is called tender mercies, until we deal with the unforgiveness in your life. That jacket is never going to fit until you get real and even understand what tender mercies are. And I said, Lord, help me. I don't understand what tender mercies are. And when I got this, oh boy. Anybody know what tender mercies are? Well, I'm going to tell you and I'm going to show you. Tender mercies. Get rid of the anger and replace it with passion, unfailing love, steadfast love, and kindness. Now that's, you see that right next to tender mercies, you see that word? That's the English translation of what tender mercies are. Can I tell you what comes out of the Hebrew law or out of the Hebrew word for what tender mercies are? It represents the womb, and it represents the kind of love a mother has for a child while in the womb. I want you to stop and think about this a minute now. You ever see a mom when the baby's in the womb? Walks around, holds it, cuddles it, loves it, you know. You know why? Go to the next part of this slide. It's a love that has yet to be challenged. Go one to get in the cookie jar when you shouldn't. See? By rebellion or defiance. So there is a kind of love that we have, a mother has for a baby when it's still in the womb. Now, I've seen my wife and I've seen my mother when we've been disobedient, and I thought, oh Lord, that don't look like love to me. My mother was a samurai with a yardstick, and oh Lord, she did not spare that thing. She knew how to use it, right? Because this tender little thing that she loved and she cherished and she carried for 9 months, she delivered, now isn't listening to her. Now is defying what she's asking it to do. And now instead of having that same love, there's a different kind of love that's coming up, but there's still love there. Do you understand me? But tender mercies are the kind of love that we have for one another before there's offense. David asked God to remember him, and this is what David says to God. Okay? Remember me, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been very of old. Now, you know what? What did God always say about David? Man after God's own heart. And when David was a young shepherd boy, it was all about God. And it was all about being obedient to God and his father. And he had a relationship with God that was like unstoppable. And he had a heart after God. And no matter what come after him, he said that God protected me from the bear. God protected me from the lion. God will deliver me from Goliath. And he had a relationship with God that was like none other ever before. But then what happened to the relationship between David and God? What he says is this happens. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to thy mercy. Remember thou me, O, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. David is asking God to remember his love for him as it was before he had sinned and committed adultery and murder. Now here's the hard part. God's asking us to put on that same tender mercy into our life. Now it's going to get real quiet in here. What he's asking us to do first is husbands and wives to love each other the way you loved each other when you first met. I told you, real quiet. To love each other the way that you loved each other when you first met. Before I did something to offend my wife, or she did something to offend me, and to do this and to do that, and you know, we could go through, and my wife could probably put together a book about this big of all the things that I've done wrong to her or said wrong or whatever. And those things, if we allow them, get in the way of our relationship with one another. And what he's saying is, I want you to put on tender mercies. I want you to remember what it was like to love that person before they offended you. And now it not only applies to a husband and wife, guess who it also applies to? You and I. And so I've done something to Carol, and I've offended her. Boy, we had a great relationship before, but now there's this offense that's come between us. And she still loves me, but she looks at me a little differently. And we talk a little differently. You know why? Because there's still some unforgiveness in there that hasn't been dealt with. And if we're going to deal with the unforgiveness, then we have to do what the Bible says. Forgiveness is not just saying I'm sorry, but it's giving it away and forgetting about it. And when we give it away and forget about it, then we can look at each other the way we did before the offense ever started. Oh, there are so many people that I talk to. Pastor Chip, you don't understand. What? My wife, 20 years ago, said this. What the heck you talking about? 20 years ago? I can't even remember what I was looking like 20 years ago. And you want to dwell on 20 years ago? Yeah, but it was really bad. I forgave her. But I don't know if I could ever look at her the same way that I did before back then. Then did we really forgive? So if we don't take the right actions with our life, then we don't get the emotions the way that they need to be. And guess what's still in our life, whether we know it or not? Anger. You know where it is, though? It's not on the surface anymore for everybody to see. It's down inside of us. And until we deal with that anger and get rid of it, that tender mercy coat is never going to fit me. And if we don't get the tender mercy on, we can't even get past the first thing to get rid of. And then if we can't get past that, we can't put the stuff on that God has for us. And God says, it's my good pleasure to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And if we start applying these principles to our life right now, in our actions, it'll change our emotions and we'll start to move into a higher plane and we'll start to unlock the kingdom of heaven right here on earth. But if we just want to sit here and play and say, oh no, I ain't got no anger. Oh boy, there's Matt going the other way. Why'd you do that? Well, I forgave him, but I don't want to see him right now. Okay? Why don't you want to see Matt right now? Well, I just don't want to see him. I just don't want to subject myself to that again. I forgave him, but I don't want to subject myself to that again. Well, what are you talking about? If you're forgiven and you forgot it, then what do we need to do? We need to go back to the way the relationship was before the offense ever. And if we don't get back to the where it was before it ever happened, then have we ever really forgiven? Now here's the catch. If I don't get to the place where I really forgive Matt, then can God ever really forgive me to the degree I need forgiven? Come on. Boy, it got real, 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 real quiet in here. You know, there was a longtime member of this congregation that just passed away. Name was Harrison. Anybody know Harrison? Anybody know his wife, Phyllis? They attended my Sunday school class, okay? And Harrison, he was in his 80s still. And here's Harrison sitting there in my Sunday school class, holding his wife's hand, staring at her, thinking, oh my golly, you know, what the heck are they guys doing? And she's staring back at him. And they're just looking at each other in love. And Phyllis would come off with a crazy word every once in a while. I don't know where some of them words came from. And she would say some stuff and he'd laugh about it. He'd just keep holding her hands and he'd keep staring at her. And he was in love with her the same way that he was in love with her on the day they met. And you could see the love in those two. How many of you guys saw that? And you know what he said? I ain't going to let anything come between me and my wife. I'm not going to let any anger. I'm not going to let any resentment. I've got something special in this wife of mine. And I am going to keep going back to my feelings on her when the day I met her. Now listen, that's the way God looks at you and I. You know what God said to David? I already forgave you, son. I forgot about those things. I love you with an undying and with an unfailing love. Because I do remember you for your goodness. I do remember you for who you are. I do remember you for the time when we came together at the beginning. If we want God to love us like that, do you remember when you first came to Christ what it was like? Oh, my golly. Then you know what I did as a knucklehead? I let some of them old things back into my life. I know nobody else in this church has ever done that. I let some anger in every once in a while. I got to the place where I got a little jealousy in there again. Wanted some of the stuff other people had. I wanted some of the praises that some of the other people were getting. And some of that stuff started sneaking back in. And then I started looking at my life, and man, it was getting full of turmoil again, and there was no peace in it. And I said, Lord, what is going on? And I would go back, and I would go down, and I'd go to pray, and the old devil, he's a good liar. You know, he'd say, Chip, you know, gospel ain't for you. I told you, you could never make it. And now you're going to make it, but you're going to be on a different level than everybody else, because all these other people, once they gave their heart and life to Christ, they never slipped backwards. Huh? An old devil was trying to keep me beat down, and you know who started believing this crap, right? I did. And so then, you know, I started living my life, and it wasn't very good, and it was like, oh my golly, what is going on here? Until one day I got into the scriptures, and it says, I have redeemed you, son. I have redeemed you with a price. I have bought you with a price. You have been redeemed. And whom I'm set free is
free indeed.
Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for my stupidity. Forgive me for backsliding from time to time. Help me. I don't want that anymore. I want to be like David. I want our relationship to go back to the way it was in the beginning. When I first gave my heart and life to Christ, man, I thought I floated off the altar. Now, you know what I do? I get in here on Wednesday mornings or any other time we pray, and I get in touch with God, and you know what I do? I float out of here again because I want that relationship with God again. You know how many people I have come to me that say, oh, God is an idiot. Why is God an idiot? Oh, this happened in my life, and then this happened to my mom, and this happened to my dad, and why would God let this happen? And sometimes they actually get unforgiveness towards God. You ever seen anybody like that? And now we can't get back to the relationship we had with God. Why? Because we're mad at God, we're angry at God, and we have unforgiveness towards God. But yet we want his presence in our life. We want more. We want to go deeper. We want him. But all of our actions are saying, nope, we really don't want him. Listen, when I got to the one sermon that I gave on godly sorrow, I got down here on Wednesday morning, and I just laid it all out. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for being a knucklehead. I'm sorry for the grudges I hold. I'm sorry for this anger I have. Nobody sees it, but it's still in there, Lord, and I know it is. I need you to help me get rid of it. And just like now, he broke me. And I began to cry. And I began to apologize even more. And the more I apologized, the more I cried. And the more I cried, the more I said, Lord, I don't want to be like that anymore. You see, it is true that godly sorrow leads to repentance. I don't want to be like this anymore. I want more of you in my life. I'm sorry for all of these things. And then it began to be like the first time I gave my heart and life to Christ. Man, I felt like I could float away from the altar again. And now he says, okay, son, now pick up those tender mercies. Now you can put them on. It'll fit this time. Now you understand how I want you to treat people. I don't want you to just say you're sorry. I want you to mean you're sorry when you do something or when somebody comes to you or whatever it is that happens. Oh, my, I am sorry. I don't want to do anything to affect my relationship with you or with God, and I want to forget about these past offenses. Because I don't want anything standing between you and I or between God and I. And he says, if you can't get this right, you're never going to get this right. Oh boy, when I said I'm sorry, the tears came. And now the tender mercies are there on how to have them towards one another. How? Go to the next one. But you yourselves are to put off all of these things. Anger. And that anger's got to go away through that forgiveness. And I mean forgiving and forgetting. Now you ladies can't come to me and say, but you don't understand, 20 years ago my husband did this. Then have you forgotten? All I know is this, every day we have an opportunity to offend one another. Would you agree to that? Every day, whether I know it or not, I'm going to do something that's going to offend my wife today. Do I want to offend my wife today? No, I don't want to offend my wife today. But I'm going to do something today that's going to offend her. And then I got to go through 20 questions. Okay, I can see she's upset. I'm not sure why, so now I got to go through the 20 questions. Okay, what did I do this time? Okay, so is it this? No, okay, cool, cross that one off the list. Okay, is it this? Nope, it isn't that. Okay, is it this? Okay, not this one. Okay, it's not this one. Okay, finally, I say, help me. Give me a clue, please, okay? Help me. I don't want it to be like this. Well, you did this. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Not my intention. My intention is never to hurt you. My intention is to love you with all of my heart. When we get those kind of feelings towards one another, guess what goes away? Anger. Anger. Now, it applies to the person on the other side also. You know, I say, hey, honey, instead of getting angry, why don't you just come to me and tell me what I've done and make it easier for me so that we don't have to go through these things. Think about it. When you met your spouse, you said, there is the one I want to live with for the rest of my life, right? You didn't say, hey, I think I'd like to marry this one for 2 weeks and then go get another one, right? There were those butterflies in your stomach and there was those feelings and you couldn't say goodbye and you didn't want to separate and all of those things that went on. Where are we at now? I know when we first were dating, I used to go around and open the car door for my wife all the time. Yep, I see somebody over there shaking their head. Yep, I used to do that all the time too. Things happen between us that cause the offenses to start, the unforgiveness gets in, and then the feelings and the emotions change towards one another. I'm only picking on husbands and wives to make the example easy. Do you think that happens between any of us in here in this church? Should it be? So whose job is to put it off? It's our job to put off that anger. To deal with it once and for all. Come clean to God and let him wipe it away. And then we can put on the tender mercies. The next slide. You know what happens when you get angry? What's the thing you get next? When my dad caught me with his hand in the cookie jar, you know what was there first? Anger, because I disobeyed. What came next? Wrath. We got to put off blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. You know, I love it when people come up to me and they say, Pastor Chip, we want to tell you a joke. Okay, good. Is it a clean one? Well, it's just a little off color. How much filthy language am I supposed to put out of my mouth? All of it. There's As long as I got a little bit of it in there, I ain't got room for the other things that God wants me to put on in my life. Okay? Malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of my mouth. Next. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Okay, so when we were old, and the old man, we did certain deeds. Now that we're the new man, we're supposed to be full of what kind of deeds? Good deeds. Godly deeds. Spiritual deeds. And we have put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Put on the new man. Put on that new man. How do I do that? By putting on the tender mercies and these other things I'm going to show you real quickly here. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scyth, slave nor free. But Christ is all and in all. But Christ is all, and he is in all of us. Okay, go to the next one. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on kindness, which is the opposite of wrath. What's next?
Humility.
Meekness. This is my favorite one. Oh, long suffering. When I see that one person coming at work, I know it ain't going to be a 10-minute conversation. I'm looking at my watch thinking about all the things I got to do today. Oh boy, I better learn long suffering. Yep, and I'm going to keep teaching it to you, Chip, till you get there. Long suffering with one another. How are we going to put on that tender mercies? Kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering. If our deeds aren't lining up right, our actions aren't lining up right, if we haven't done that forgiveness which leads to godly sorrow, which leads to repentance, then we can start to put these things on. Is that making any sense to you yet? Come on, have I lost all of you? Are you starting to get some of this, okay? What's it say? Bearing with one another. And what do I have highlighted?
Forgiving
one another. How come it talks about forgiveness so much? You know why it talks about forgiveness so much? Because guess what we all need?
Forgiveness.
I need forgiving all the time. And if I'm forgiving you and you're forgiving me and we're forgetting it and we're going back to the way that things were in the beginning when we first met, what kind of life do we got? But if we ain't forgiven and we're hanging on to it and we just suppress any anger that's underneath there, what does our life look like? It's in turmoil. And here's my favorite one. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also. If you have a complaint against somebody, Lord have mercy. Anybody in here got a complaint against somebody else? Guess what we better do with it? Huh? That was not a trick question. We must do what? As Christ did to me also. And if we don't forgive, guess what? So guess what? Wives, if you're mad at your husbands, guess what you got to do? Kill him. Kill him. She said kill him. You said kill him. Bill, if you come up missing tomorrow, I'll know what happened, okay? Husbands, if you're mad at your wife, guess what you got to do? If you guys are mad at me, guess what you got to do?
Forgive.
And if I'm upset with you, guess what I got to do?
Forgive.
Correct. And if we don't, we're never going to get to the place where God wants us to be. If you guys want to move up towards the piano, I'm getting ready to close this out because I've already gone to preaching here and I apologize. Now, as we do these things, As we get to the place where we can forgive one another, as we forget these things, as we put on these tender mercies, we put on the loving kindness and all these other things, it says, but above all of these things, put on, which is the glue that holds it all together. What's going to hold us all together in this new life in Christ, hidden in Christ?
Love.
Love. And so listen, I'm going to pick on Marvin just one more time. If I love Marvin, is he allowed to get mad at me from time to time? Am I allowed to get mad at him from time to time? Okay. Is his mom allowed to get mad at me from time to time? No. I don't want that, Marvin. You've had that? Okay, that's worse than my father over there. Okay. But if I know that Marvin loves me, and Marvin knows that I love him, we can disagree with one another from time to time. But then at the end of the day, you know what we do? Marvin, I love you more than trying to get my own way in this situation or whatever happened. And if I've done something to you, Marvin, I love you. And I don't want that to happen. I want anything between you and I. And now I'm coming to him with a godly sorrow because I love him. And I know that he loves me. And so, are we going to get mad at each other from time to time? We're going to get mad over the hair gel we use or something. You know, I'm not sure what it might be. Okay? But in the end, what is the thing that holds us together? It is love. And what can destroy that love? Unforgiveness. Anger. Because when I get angry in my life, you know what comes next? Wrath. I got to get even. And now I ain't looking at Marvin with the same eyes that I looked at him before we had the disagreement. And the whole relationship changes. And as soon as my relationship changes with Marvin like that, you know what happens? This relationship changes. But as soon as I get this right, and I say, Marvin, I'm sorry. I don't want anything to come between you and I. And he says, Chip, I don't want it to come between you and I either. I don't even know how we got here. Let's forget it and let's get moving on. Huh? Bill. Bill.
That's all we got.
Well, Karen killed him, so it's okay. He's out of the picture now. He's out of the picture now, okay? Then I know that there may be another argument or another disagreement coming between Marvin and I. But I know that him and I'll end up right back where we were at before, and nothing is going to separate the love that we have for one another. Yeah. And as there's nothing that separates the love from one another, there's nothing that separates this love. Not a thing. We all say that we want this love. How many of us just want to feel the love of God coming down in our life? Then we better start getting this right. And when we start getting this right, oh, then we get overflowed with this. And whose responsibility is it? Ours. Put on the bond of love. My grandfather always had a saying. He used to always give me old clothes. No matter whether they fit me or not, he'd grab a hold of the back of them and adjust them. Oh, that's perfect, grandson. It'd be hanging off me and everything else. He'd say, that's perfect on you. It was never perfect. But this bond of love, or just put on this love, which is the bond of perfection. You see, when we have love, love covers a multitude of sins. But without that love, I don't care how long relationships have gone together. I don't know how long Harrison and Phyllis were together, but I'll tell you what kept that relationship strong was the love that they had one for another and the forgiveness that they had one for another. And because of that, he had a relationship with God. Oh boy, that was really special. I hope you've got something to think about while we sing this last song. And then I'm going to close us out with a prayer. John, all yours.
Can you hear me, Kath? Kath, can you hear me? Well, it's really good to be here. I didn't know Harrison passed away. But a lot of us have been so fortunate to have been able in the church to be able to have the company of good men and good women that have been examples, people who persevered. He was a little opinionated once in a while, but boy, he loved the Lord, and he loved his wife. After her stroke, I would comment and congratulate him and buck him up because he was still a greeter or a worker, still working, and he'd go to the rest home 2-3 times a day. Wonderful fella. Really going to miss him, but his memory will live on. Just like this song, this is a song of why we enjoy each other's company. This is a song that we're actually involved in. We work with each other. We walk with each other. And we're going to continue to work together, especially in the way the world is today, fellas and girls. This is really important. So let's sing it.
Nobody else, just you. And I want you to answer these questions honestly. Is my relationship with others the same as it was when I first met them? Or has it grown deeper or has it grown colder? have I let offenses come into my life that I thought I dealt with that maybe really I haven't dealt with because my relationship isn't where it needs to be yet? Or maybe you're looking at your spouse and you're thinking about it, the way your relationship is now versus the way it was when you first met. And you're saying, oh boy, over the years, things have come in that I didn't even know were there. How many of you would say right now, I got my head down and I got my eyes closed? How many of you would just raise your hand with me and say, hey, Father, help me. Help me, Father, to put off anger by really, really getting sincere about forgiveness. By putting off the past hurts and the past offenses the same way that you do. Removing them as far as the east is from the west. Father, I want that relationship with my spouse. I want that relationship with my fellow Christians in this church. We want that special love that you have. And Father, we don't want anything to hinder us anymore. And so, Father, forgive us as we forgive these others. And Father, we're going to put away the wrath, like you said. We're going to put it to death. We're going to put the anger to death. And we're going to put on these new things, these tender mercies, these loving kindnesses, long suffering. And then, Father, we're going to bind them together with love. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that we don't go out of here today the same way we came in. That you've spoken truth into our life today, and you said you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So, Father, today we've been set free from unforgiveness. And so, Father, thank you that we could put those tender mercies on. And people, when they look at us, they're going to say, wow, those people do walk hand in hand. Those people I do know as Christians because of the love that they have one for another and the love that they have for you. So, Father, thank you for this message today. Now, Father, thank you that it penetrated deep into our heart and that we go out of here changed. And that when we go out, we can all say, man, it was good to be in the house of the Lord again today. And all people said, amen. Thank you.